We begin our study today in James chapter 1. A real quick review of what we studied this past Wednesday night in our Bible class before we go off and make applications of how that can help us today. Glad you're here. I have several that are back from the sick list and some that are added to it. We're really glad you're here. I had a lot of visits and traveling this week, and we've all made it back home, and thankfully our families have all made it back home. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Ricky mentioned about the upcoming singing seminar, practice, whatever you want to call it, that Brother Tim Stevens is going to do. Tim's the best song teacher that there is. That's not a misstatement. He's done this countless times. It's his bread and butter. It's his wheelhouse, and we're really fortunate and thankful that he could work us into his schedule, and we're excited about him being here. It won't be this coming Friday, but it'll be next week, about a week and a half from now. But like Ricky said, the schedule of events is back in the back for when song leaders need to be here, when all of us are going to be here learning some of these principles, and hope you'll take advantage of that and recognize it for the privilege that it is that we'll be able to serve God better in an active part of worship that we do every week. And we can be better at it, and there's some skills to be better at it. That's what we want to work on, and invite you to be a part of that, and make sure you've got your schedule clear so you can be. This past Wednesday night, we started our new study of the quarter. We started looking at the book of James, and James 1 through 17 is a unit basically dealing with trials and temptations, the fact of them, how we are to view them, how we are to see the growth that's possible because of them. And all along, he gives these little nuggets of encouragement, because it doesn't make sense to take pleasure and to be joyful of things that aren't very fun. But he gives us some things all along that to help us along with that. And in verse 12, there is one of them. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And so the admonition is, the encouragement is, look through the unpleasant moment. Look through what we're going through in the moment. That's not all that fun, but see what it leads to. There is a crown of life. And so he encourages us to deal with our temptations well. There's another of them in verse 15. When he's talking about that section of our own lust and the things that it leads to if we don't control it well. In verse 15 he says, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So again, he's telling us to look ahead. Look beyond the temptation. Because there's a blessedness, there's a crown of life. Look beyond the temptation. Because no matter how pleasant it might be in the moment, there is judgment to come. So he's getting it from a both positive and a negative aspect. Endure the temptation well, because there's a crown to be won. Endure the temptation well, because if we don't, there is destruction to come. And then in verse 17, one that we might overlook, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above. He said, don't blame God for these things. God is the giver of good. And when we break sin down to its common core, covetousness is probably there. It's in the mix. Whether it's a lust of the eye, that means we saw something we wanted. Whether it's a lust of the flesh, that means there was some pull that we had that we wanted to scratch. Whether it's the pride of life, there's something out there that's bigger and better and newer than what we got, and we want it. Covetousness is at the core of almost every sin we can imagine. And what he's telling us is, when those temptations come and when the trials come and covetousness kicks in, remember what we already have. Open up our eyes to the blessings God's already bestowed upon us. Deal with temptation well, because there's a crown to win. Deal with it well, because there is judgment to come. Deal with it well, because God has blessed us. He's not ignored us. We sing the song all along, count your many blessings. We could probably join in and all of us sing the first verse without even cracking a book. We know that song. We sing it well. Now, when we tend to do that literally, when you start counting your blessings, what do you count? Health? It's a good one to count. Wealth? It's a good one to count. Family? It's a good one to count. When's the last time we counted spiritual blessings? God is the giver
of good and perfect gifts. And if all we see in that verse is, boy, He's really blessed me with some health. He's really blessed me with some stuff. You see, if that's what we're thinking these blessings are, that might be why we don't face our temptations very well. Because what happens when the blessings are gone? What happens when health is no longer a blessing because of age or disease? Or what happens when the stuff starts to break? What happens when, if our counting of blessings is all under the physical realm, we're not going to deal with temptation and trials very well. Because physical things aren't going to get us through that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and just mark your Bibles there. That's going to be the basis of our study today. I want us to, when we hear that song and when we sing that song, to not just count the health and the wealth and the family and the stuff and all that. Let's make sure we understand forefront the spiritual blessings that we have in the heavenly places, because they are eternal. The health can leave, but we're fixing to read about some blessings that the giver of God, the giver of light, has made available to us. Our health can disappear. Our family unit can disappear. Our job can disappear. These things will remain. We can count them through any trial and temptation that we might have. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's what we want to count today. That's what we want to be reminded of today. I'm going to hurriedly go through most of this list. I want to get to the end so we can make some applications about it. But let's just real briefly and real hurriedly, because we've done these before in various ways, various times. But let's just remind ourselves how concise this are. We studied some of these when we did this. We studied another one when we did that. But here they are, basically in one chunk, one paragraph, just built right on top of each other. So let's remind ourselves of some blessings we need to be counting. And that is the fact that God adopted us. Spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. A long list of blessings we have in Christ. And look in verse 5. "He has foreordained us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." He has taken us to Himself. He has become our Father. And adoption means He didn't have to do that. We know what adoption is. It's still the very same word, very same concept we use in our culture. It is to take by choice as one's own. Now, we might phrase it a little differently, but that's how it's defined. To take by choice as one's own. When you have a natural birth, that doesn't happen. Here's what happened to the natural birth. There's three or four women in various rooms, and babies are born, and at the end of the week, all the babies don't go into a room and you look through and you say, "Okay, I think I'll take that one." You see, that's what we do at a potluck. I bring this, and you bring this, and another brings this. We get it all together, and then we just go pick which one we like. That doesn't happen with natural births. You don't have your choice of which baby you're taking home. With adoption, it's all choice. You do take the one you pick. And it's a long process to get that finalized. But we know how it works. God didn't have to do this. It's a sign of His love. Other passages, that's not the lesson today. But this is something God didn't have to do. Turn back one book to Galatians 4. He didn't have to take us home with Him, so to speak. So let's be thankful that He has made it possible. He has chosen to become our Father. And He has adopted and taken us in. And we better remember that blessing. It'll get us through a lot of trials and temptations, huh? But there's more to just that. Look in verse 7 of Galatians 4. "Therefore," speaking of the adoption process, "therefore, you are no longer a bondservant, but a son." This is not one of those fairy tale type things. It'd be interesting. How many fairy tales that we watch with our kids or read books with our kids where there is an adoption? There is a step-parent here or a step-parent there, and it didn't turn out all that well. Cinderella had a stepmother. Treated her as a servant, as a slave. Hansel and Gretel had a step, whichever one it was, and ready to kill them. This is a relationship. He doesn't take us in simply as a servant. Doesn't mean we don't serve, that we're not faithful. But it's not just a servant relationship. Therefore, you are no more a bondservant, but a son. Look in Romans chapter 8. We just studied this a few months ago as we made our way through this epistle. So this will be familiar to us. Verse 14, Romans 8, 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear." Again, that's what Galatians said. It's not just this fear thing. "You have not received the spirit of bondage to fear. You have received the spirit of adoption, in which we cry, Abba, Father." And when we studied Romans, we talked about what that Abba meant. A relationship. A close-knit relationship. And the interesting thing about it is, that's what Jesus cried in the garden when he was going through his trials, when he was going through his struggles in the flesh. He's crying, Abba, Father. And what we're finding out is, when we go through our struggles in the flesh, we have the right, we have the privilege to go to the same Father and call Him the same thing that the only begotten did. We are adopted, and we get to call Him what the begotten did. That's a blessing. And health, wealth, and stuff don't have a thing in the world to do to take it away. So let's remember this and count it. Go back to Ephesians 1. Let's count something else. Look into verse 6. Depending on the translation you use, the phrasing will be different, but the application is the same. And that is, he's adopted us. And what that infers is he has taken us as his own. Look in verse 6. To the praise... Actually, let's read these together. Let's just let them build on each other. Verse 5, "Having foreordained us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, in which he has accepted us in the beloved." In which he has accepted us. Newer translations will say, "in which he has graced us." Newer translations will use the phrase that he has fully bestowed it upon us. There is this gift, and a spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, of God's grace. Fully bestowed. And there's not a trial or a struggle that you have that can take that away if we behave properly. What a wonderful blessing that is. To use that phrase in the old King James, to think that the very God that we studied about this morning, that Isaiah recognized and that Hezekiah recognized, is not like all the others of the earth. The true God, the Creator God. To think that He would accept me. That's a blessing. And that's a spiritual blessing I need to count, I need to recognize. To think that you, and all of your weaknesses, all of our weaknesses, to think that there is a God who is willing to accept us and fully bestow His grace upon us. And yet when we count our blessings, all we're doing is counting health and wealth. We're missing the things that can help us through struggles and trials. Look in verse 7. He redeemed us. Another word we've studied not very long ago. The idea of buying us back. Verse 7. Actually, let's start again. Verse 5, he foreordained in us as adoption of children. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace in which he has accepted us. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We could turn to Romans 6 that we studied not long ago and remind ourselves about spiritual bondage. The how sin gets a hold of us. And without being melodramatic, can enchain us, imprison us. That's what Romans is talking about. And yet here, we as slaves being bought out of that bondage. We couldn't pay the price ourselves. Could have never gotten out on our own. And yet verse 7, we have redemption through His blood. If you were a slave, and you're no longer a slave, somebody bought you out. Somebody paid you out of that. Somebody removed the bonds. And that somebody was Jesus. And it didn't cost, as Peter says, gold and silver and jewels. It cost the precious blood of our Lord. And none of the others that we've talked about is possible without that. So the next time we start counting blessings, make sure we remember what He's done for us. Drop down to verse 11. Still along the theme of accepting us and adopting us. In verse 11, it says, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance. We were made an heir." You see, He didn't just adopt us. He didn't just by choice take us in. Remember, this is not some fairy tale story with His mistreatment. He adopted us and took us in and accepted us and paid the price for us. And then, to use our phrase, put us in the will. That's what it means to be an heir. We know what it means to be an heir. We know what it means to inherit something. Verse 11. We have obtained an inheritance. We were made an heir. We were not only adopted, but He took us in and put us in the will. And the end result of that is, just as we can call Him Abba, Father, the same thing Jesus did, we can be around the same throne for eternity that Jesus is. Jesus will spend eternity beside that throne. We can be around that throne as well. We learned that from Revelation chapter 5. We'll be able to join in with that new song with the beast and the elders and the angels and the creation. We can join in that song. We're heirs. Count that. And don't forget that. Look in verse 9. If this weren't true, nothing we've said today makes any difference. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Do we forget the blessing that is? We were studying this morning downstairs. We were talking about the silence of the Scriptures. And we started in Psalm chapter 19 where David poured his heart out. And he says, "Lord, hold me back from presumptuous sins." And we know some of David's life. He decided he's going to build a house when God had never told him He wanted one. He decides he's going to move the ark in this way when God had never told... David had some presumptuous thoughts. This sounds good to me. This makes sense to me. And those things failed. And me and you have done the same thing. We've all lacked it at times because we thought it was best. We thought it was right. It made sense to us. I'll say all that to get us back to verse 9. We don't have to presume what God wants. We don't have to presume what God accepts. We don't have to presume what God has in store for us. He has revealed the mystery. Verse 9, He has made known unto us the mystery of His will. How horrible it would be that God was willing to adopt us and accept us and make us an heir, and me and you didn't know a thing in this world about it. He's willing to do that, but we don't know what can make it possible. You see, that's exactly what would be the truth if we didn't have what we have. So don't forget to thank Him for the blessing of the Word that we had that's been restored and saved and preserved by the Spirit and translated into our very language. And we can know the spiritual blessings that we have in the heavenly places. We know that because God revealed His mind to us. We won't turn these other passages. Let's just review them. We studied them not very long ago in various times. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says, "I received the will by revelation." God made known to me His will because He revealed it to me. That's not me and you. The days of the apostles are over. We don't need it. Why do we not need it? He said, "To me it was revealed. But I wrote it down. And if you read it, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of God." We don't need direct revelation. We have the inspired Word. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, if you'll read the inspired record, you'll know what He wants. That's a blessing. that no trial or temptation can take away from you. The blessing of it that we might overlook in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he's talking about the prophets searching diligently about the things they were writing down. And we've made note before of some of those prophets. Imagine Isaiah that we're reading about in our readings every week. And he's writing about a lamb walking to silently before the shearers. And he didn't open his mouth. And there's people over here parting lots for garments. And he don't have any idea who that lamb is. We've got 5-year-olds that go to our downstairs classes that know who that is. This room is full of people who know who that lamb is. Isaiah's searching diligently, and he died never knowing. The minor prophets speaking of a virgin giving birth. The city being called by name. Me and you know who that was. We know who she was, and we know who the baby was. Micah died not knowing. And we could just go on and on and on. People writing by inspiration. Prophecies that they didn't get to see and they didn't get to experience. And me and you know it. We know what they're searching diligently for. When's the last time we thank God for it? We're thanking Him for health and wealth, stuff that can disappear in the blink of an eye. And here we are, we've been adopted and accepted and redeemed. And all of it's been made known to us. And we just, I don't know the word. Take it for granted, maybe? What if we had not been told all of these things? Maybe that'll remind us of how great a blessing it is. And now, application of that, what are we doing with these revelations? He has made known unto us the mystery of His will. What am I doing with that? What am I doing with this revelation? What are you doing with it? Look in verse 18. If this could be our prayers, that we had eyes of understanding. What if we had this as the prayer on our lips, that we had a heart that was enlightened to these blessings that God gave us? Let's open our eyes to them. None of this is new. We've studied all these at various times, but it is very helpful that here's all these blessings just right here on top of each other. But do we have eyes to see it, and do we have a heart that appreciates it? That's the question. And so now, let's leave these for just a moment, and now let's just start making some applications about this. Can you imagine somebody who hears a list like that? You know, he's done this and this and this and this. That sounds like a lot. Who can do so much? Can he handle all of that? Is he able to do all of that stuff? Can we really take this serious? Look in verse 19. He's proven to us He has the power. And here's how He proved it. Look in verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He showed in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places? Can God do all these things? Yes. How can you take assurance of that? Because He has shown His power. How did He show His power? How do we know? That's a lot of stuff going on right there. How do we know He has the power to do that? He has the power to do it because He raised His Son from the grave and set Him at His hand, exalted as King. That's who He is. And He has shown us that His power is real. Now here's where me and you get involved in this. Another thing we've got to add to this list that we've got to start counting. The blessings we have in spiritual places. Verses 19 and 20. Point being, God showed His power when He raised Jesus from the grave. When He raised Jesus from the dead. But He didn't stop there. His power didn't end there. And His resurrection power didn't end there. Look in chapter 2. And you, that's us. And you did He make alive that was dead in trespasses and sins. He showed His power by raising Jesus from the dead. And the point that Paul is making to the Ephesians is, He did the same thing with us. He raised us out of our death. Not a physical death like it was with the Lord, but spiritual death. You He also has made alive who was dead in trespasses and sins. And we still to this day know what the word trespassing means. When you drive by a road and it says no trespassing, that means we're not supposed to go there. Same thing. God's told us places we're not supposed to go, but sometimes we trespass, don't we? And when we do that, we are dead in sin. Verse 2, here's that time of our life. That time in our life in times past when we walked according to the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in children of disobedience. And as shameful as that is, that was me. And as much as you might not want to remember it and acknowledge it, that was you. That was us. We were dead in sins. And the same God who had the power to bring His Son back from the dead has the power to do the same thing to us in spiritual places. Look in verse 4. But God. But we know but is a transition word, a contrast word. We were dead in sin. We were being led by lust of the flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has brought us together with Christ. By grace we're saved. We were dead, and He has risen us from that. We've been raised from the dead too. What a wonderful thing. Don't forget that. And remember to count that. Because health and wealth and stuff disappears. This is a blessing we have. When the trials are kicking us in the teeth, we can endure it because we know what God's power is. Look in verse 11. Remember what we used to be. Remember what it was before we were raised up. Because here it is. Therefore remember that in times past you were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the hands made by God. Now here we are. He says, verse 11, do not forget what you were. But here's what we were, verse 12. That at that time, you were without Christ. Let's call that Christless. At that time, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Let's call that nationless. You were strangers from the covenant of promise. Let's call that promiseless. Having no hope. One of the worst words in the English language. Call that hopelessness. Without God in this world. Call that godless. You want to remember what I was? You want to remember what you were? Christless. Hopeless. Promiseless. Godless. That's what we were when we were dead in our sins. But now in Christ, you that was afar off have been brought made close by the blood of Christ. Anybody want to count that as a blessing? And you want to count that as a spiritual blessing in the heavenly places when we remember what we were? And then God, with the same power that raised His Son out of the grave, has the power to get us out of that hopeless and godless and Christless horror. That's the blessing we've got to start counting. That's what we've got to start remembering when we do all those other things that we tend to count. Look in verse 8. The next time we sing that song and we add these things to the list, let's make sure we remember how it all became possible. Verses 8 and 9, it's by grace. By grace you are saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what that means in its most bluntness? It means there's not a thing in this world I could have done to get rid of my hopelessness had Jesus not did what He did. There's not a thing in this world you could have done to get rid of your promiseless, godless state had grace not been shown to us, gifted to us, fully bestowed upon us, had an adoption not been available. All those blessings that we saw earlier on. So we're to be thankful, not arrogant. We're to be appreciative, not braggarts. These are not earned blessings. These are gifts, and we need to appreciate it. Look back in chapter 1. I skipped through some of these phrases. I'm going to go back and kind of catch them all up together. It's interesting how at the end of this long list, the adoption and the acceptance and the redemption and so on, they're not the same phrase, but they're very, very similar. And it's all taking these promises and these blessings back to the source. So let's look at them. Look in verse 5 again, and we'll emphasize
different words this time. Verse 5. Here's the blessings to count. We were predestined as adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, we have been accepted. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure that He purposed in Himself. Verse 12. That we should to the praise of His glory. And that phrase goes on and on. These little nuggets. He adopted us according to His pleasure. He accepted us according to His good will. He redeemed us according to this. All of these things, putting the focus back on Him. What a wonderful thing that is. And if we can be better, let's continue to thank Him for our good things. Continue to thank Him for our families. Continue to thank Him for our health. Continue to thank Him for the stuff that we've got. And the least of us in here have a ton of stuff. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Let's just have an enlightened heart. Let's have eyes that see. All these things are just, they're going to burn up. And if they don't burn up, we're going to die and we're leaving them all behind anyway. There are things that can get us through trials and temptations. That connects this back to James. We're trying to see beyond the moment. Look in Galatians 3. Go back one page or so. These blessings, I'm not going to take us back and reread verse 1 through 3 where we started at. These blessings that are in the spiritual places, the heavenly places in Christ. All of these blessings, the adoption, the acceptance, the redemption, the inheritance, all of these things, they're in Christ. And so the easiest invitation, I guess, that can ever be offered is the simple question, are you in Christ? Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Adoption is real. And He is powerful, and it's possible, and it's a blessing in the heavenly places. But it is to those that are in Christ. The incredible mind-shattering thought that we can be acceptable before God. What a blessing that is. But it is a blessing that's in Christ. And to think that we can be bought out of that hopeless, Christless, promiseless slavery. To think that we can be redeemed is incredible. But that redemption is to those that are in Christ. And if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, that is not you. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. These are incredible blessings, and I want everybody here to be thankful for them. I want everybody here to be a partaker in it. And if you're not a Christian, they are not yours. Get your songbooks out. If you're not a Christian, these blessings are not yours, but they can be. One of our blessings in the heavenly places, God revealed His will to us. He revealed His mind to us. There was a law in effect. There was an order that was put into effect of how sins could be forgiven. It happens through His Son. We've got to confess Him as our Lord. Let Him be King. Let Him rule. Repent of the sins that caused Him to have to die. That redemption cost His blood. And the reason for that was sin. Be baptized and wash those sins away. You'll put on Christ. You'll be in Christ. And in Christ are all the blessings in the heavenly places. Let's be thankful for them. And for all of us here who are Christians, let's be a little bit more mindful. And let that appreciation drive us to a greater realm of service. We are sons, adopted sons. But there is a service to be rendered. Let's be good at it. If anybody needs to respond in a public way, do it while we stand and sing.